Thank you, thank you, thank you to my live and studio audience. It's your man, Jay. Welcome to another episode of Dynasty Down Under, where you follow along with your 10, 12 favorite bandits who are here for a good time and also a long time since it's a Dynasty League. Welcome into our Week 10 Dynasty Fantasy Basketball Recap episode. We're going to go back, look at our current standings this week. We have some breaking news from the NBA this morning. We have plenty of other news to talk about today. We have some rumors we're going to hit. We're going to hit the rumor mill hard. We got some injury news, and then we got some mailbag questions. So I'm ready if you're ready to get into it. So let's do it. Again, pardon my voice. If I go quiet or anything, it means I'm coughing. If there's like a weird pause, like if I stop a sentence mid-sentence or something, I'm probably getting a drink of lemon water or something like that. So it's kind of where we're at. So where the league sits right now is currently I am, so we're week 10. I'm going to be 500 after this week at 5.5 after beating the Grannies. To Infinity Wembeyond is projected to beat the Puzini Dynasty. Thug Life is projected to beat Discount Presti this week. So that means that Wembeyond will improve to 7-3 while Puzini falls to 5-5. Presti will fall to 2-8 while Thug Life also improves to 5-5. Poppin' with Tebow is projected to win right now and improve to 9-1 while that blue guy will fall to 4-6. Mitchman 95 is expected to improve to 7-3 after this week while All Balls No Bite will also fall to 5-5. Magic Claws is also losing to Pavola and Pavlovich, which will make them both 5-5 after this week. So it's mostly just a bunch of 5-5 teams. Top six make the playoffs. Playoffs are going to start in week 21. So we're right almost halfway between the regular season and the playoffs. So yeah, still a lot can happen. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So yeah, nothing crazy, nothing too crazy going on, but, looks like we're just going to have a bunch of 5-5 teams with a couple 7-3s, and a 9-1. So good teams across the board. We had one trade go down this week, between Poppin' with Tebow and AB Pack. Poppin' with Tebow acquired Steph, Miles Turner, Kyle Kuzma, Cam Thomas, and Ausar Thompson, our 2024, 5, and 26 first-round picks, while AB Pack acquired Malik Beasley, Bam Adebayo, John Morant, 2025 third, and a 2025 6. It was a trade, to say the least, so that's where I'll keep it. So, yeah, but we had some breaking news. As I was getting ready to record, some news broke. We finally had a regular in-season trade in the NBA. The Knicks received OG Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa, while the Raptors will be getting back. Oh, and they also got They also got Malachi Flynn as well from the Raptors, and the Knicks are getting back. RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and a 2024 second, while also having an advantage of re-landing OG Anunoby to a contract extension worth less than his anticipated $40 million, which is huge. The Knicks look really good. This is exactly kind of what they said they wanted to do. They had the pieces and they had the draft capital to go and get a big piece. And so they went and got a big piece. Project the starting lineup now for the Knicks. You have Brunson, DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenson, with Miles McBride, Quentin Grimes, Josh Hart, and Precious Achiuwa coming off the bench. Of course, you also have Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, Jericho Sims, Taj Gibson as well to fill out the rest of that team. So they're a lot better now. The Knicks definitely got a bigger part of this trade with Anunoby being willing to sign a contract extension here, stay here, take less than what he's on right now or wanted. He's currently on in the third year, 3 out of 4 on a 4-year, $72 million deal. So that's going to uptick real quick. Now for the Raptors. The Raptors are still a really good team. This hurts them, yes, but it also doesn't absolutely decimate them. Julius Randle, of course, as we all know, former top 3 pick, so a former lottery pick back in 2019. Former lottery pick. So we know this about Julius or RJ Barrett. Has he ever panned out or become exactly what he was hoped and drafted to be? He has not. Has he been very good for his career? Yes, he has. Want to pull up his basketball reference real quick. Give me just a moment here while I pull this up. But again, I think this trade works really well for both sides. I want to say Barrett did get a rookie scale extension, but I don't want to say that and not know. So let's see. So also with this trade, RJ Barrett returns to Canada, where he's from. So it's a homecoming for the 23-year-old. And again, this dude's only 23. He's in his fourth season in the NBA. Let's see. Trying to find his contract. Can't find it. So he's in his fifth season right now in the NBA. So I believe he's still playing on his rookie deal. But I want to be able to find his contract, but I'm having a hard time. I mean, this is the dude that was number one in his class. Over his career, he's averaging 18 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, playing a 2-3 kind of position. At 6'6", 42% field goal shooter, 34% from 3, 72% from the line. Those numbers are pretty in line this year so far. This is a good spot for RJ Barrett to go. Out of any, I think, you know, the former one and done out of Duke, really good. Really, really, really good. I can't complain about this move for RJ Barrett. Let me try to go on this Spo track real quick. See if I can find his contract. I know it's going to be here. You just have to look in the right place. Normally, RJ Barrett, he's one of the trending players right now. Look at that. And if while I'm searching here, remember, I dropped a new episode of Ball Boy Talk this morning over on YouTube and on the main podcast. Just talking about, you know, the baseball solstice as well as the some NFL news and a playoff primer as well. Let's see. So he did sign his rookie scale extension. So he's committed to Toronto for at least the next 3 seasons after this year, which is huge for Toronto. Those rookie scale extensions are very team friendly. You know, looking at it, you know, base salary of 25, 27, and 29. Right there. 2027, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So the Raptors got them a piece. They got them a very affordable piece over these next 3 years. 3 years, $75 million, that's not bad. Plus whatever they have left to give this year. So probably about 3 years, $90 million or so left on this deal. Three-ish. Well, no, they're only like 30 games in this year, right? 31. So you get 51 games this year, plus you're getting 3 years. So you're about three something years for RJ Barrett. So the more I look into this, the more I like it. I really do like this for him. I think this will be a good change of scenery, especially him going back to Canada will be really good. Now let's look at the other side. OG Anunoby. One of the best, if not the best, 3-and-D guards in the league. 2017 first-round pick, number 23 overall out of Indiana. 26, he's in year 7. He has an expected player option next year for only $19 million. He will for sure decline that. So like I said, he'll for sure decline that, but he'll look to ink an extension. But I'm sure his team and him will look to work out an extension to stay with the Knicks long-term. So I really like this team up front. I really like this deal up front for the Knicks. Getting a longer-term piece, switch-flopping in for OG Onunuby, who was for sure in his last year of that contract. Very team-friendly deal. Emmanuel Quickley, 24-year-old guard, 25th overall pick out of Kentucky. We know that he's a role player. He's one of the best role players, six-mans in the league. He has a club option that looks like it's going to be, it was exercised for this year. So he is going to be a free agent after this year. But he's a restricted free agent. So that means the Raptors will be able to match kind of whatever he's offered. Qualifying offer for him looks like they'll be due around $6 million for him. So again, very affordable if they try to keep him, depending on the role he carves out. He looks to move from a six-man possibly into an everyday role with the Raptors. So right now the Raptors line up Scotty Barnes, Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, Pascal Siakam, and Jakob Poeltl. Likely, I would imagine, Gary Trent Jr. or Otto Porter get the nod in that two-guard spot, possibly even moving Barnes to a two and moving Schroeder into the one, allowing Quickley to come off the bench where he truly thrives. Gary Trent, Otto Porter Jr., Jalen McDaniels, and Chris Boucher. One piece I haven't talked about yet is Precious Achiuwa was also part of this deal going to the Knicks. He'll find himself in the secondary rotation with Achiuwa has a chance to work his way into the everyday spot. So Precious Achiuwa, don't be surprised if he gets some serious run, some good run in that offense with the Knicks, playing a 4-5 kind of role. He's in year three. He's a restricted free agent. So again, it was a restricted free agent for a restricted free agent from Achiuwa for Quickley. Fills a huge need for the Knicks. Gives Achiuwa a great opportunity. He's looking at a qualifying offer of, again, around $6 million as well. He was a 2020 20th overall pick, so him and Quickley from the same draft. So pretty interesting there, actually. And then Malachi Flynn, we don't have to talk about that. Looks like he was just an auxiliary piece thrown in here for whatever reason. And then a second-round pick, which, as we know, second-round picks are just second-round picks. They're nothing crazy, nothing fancy. But what does this mean for your dynasty team? Well, for Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Onunuby, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hardison, it means a lot for Jalen Brunson. It means a lot for DiVincenzo, and it means a ton for Julius Randle. It just gives him another elite threat on the wing, elite defense, and I think it really boosters them up in that conference, in the Eastern Conference, from a 4-5, and this definitely puts them square at number 4, behind, of course, the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Sixers. But this almost move solidifies them at 4, especially once they get Robinson back. They'll be looking really good down the stretch, so I really like it. For the Raptors, this means that they could lose to the Pistons tonight. I hope not. I really don't think they will. They still got a great team. Without Onunuby, the Pistons have been playing some hard. They want to win. They want to get back in games. They want to win. But essentially now, I saw a post yesterday. Essentially now, every single team is going to be playing the Pistons like it's game 7 of the finals, because they don't want to be the team that lost, that ended their losing streak. So tonight, they'll still be running out Siakam, Barnes, Schroeder. Also, they're going to be running out there. Quickley, and them guys won't play. Quickley and Barrett likely won't play tonight because he just got traded. But you still got Barnes, Siakam, Poeltl, Trent, Porter, McDaniels, Boucher, Schroeder. You're going to be fine. I might not be. But that's okay. We carry on. So enough about the trade. Let's get into kind of where we're at. Let's get into some news. So as we've seen recently, Eric Gordon wants more touches. I touched on this last week, so go back and listen to that week 9 recap. But Eric Gordon wants more touches, but he can't score to save his life. I mean, now he's sharing the floor with KD, Devin Booker, Nurkic, Grayson Allen, and Bradley Beal. The Suns' big three took 30-plus games to finally debut this season. But Bradley Beal came back on Friday the 29th. The Suns won that game. KD played 39 minutes, had 21 points, 8-for-11 shooting, 11 assists, and 4 boards. Book, 37 minutes, 10-for-18 shooting, 35 points, 7 assists, 4 boards. Beal, 30 minutes, 6 points, 3-for-8 shooting, 7 assists, and 3 boards. It's good to see him facilitating and passing that Brock. Nurkic balled out, 24 points, 1 assist, and 15 boards. Allen, 16 points, 3 assists, 4 boards. Gordon, 33 minutes, 21 points, 1 assist, 2 boards. So, with that in mind, the Suns, if they can stay healthy, they'll climb back into that Western Conference, into the play-in, into the top 6, no problem. They've been floating right around 500 this season. I believe they are 500 or maybe one or two below. But they're not that far out of it. So KD's kept them alive. They kept them going enough, the best he could. Him and Book. So yeah, the Suns are right now at 9. They're 16-15. I could very see them easily jumping the Lakers, jumping the Pelicans, jumping the Mavericks, getting into that 6th seed with this rotation if they can stay healthy. I really think this conference is the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Kings, and then everyone else after that. The Warriors are on the outside looking in. They're 15-16, but they're right there with the Rockets, who have Baby Joker, Alperen Sengun. So yeah, it looks really good. I really like this team. I would definitely try to go get Gordon. He's going to be the biggest beneficiary of Beal coming back. Being able to get shots up, get minutes, get time, spelling those guys, keeping Book and him healthy, Book and Beal healthy. So he's going to rotate in and out a lot for those guys. The next piece of news is the losing streak for the Pistons continues. They lost to the Celtics in OT on Thursday night, losing a 21-point lead. It was pretty despicable to watch. They tried, they fought, they clawed, they nailed, they just could not do it. But they gave it their best. This one was interesting. Scoot Henderson thinks it's still uncertain who the rookie of the year is. I personally don't think it's close. I really don't. I think the key to rookie ladder, you have Chet, you have Jaquez. I go with what Shaq has said. Stop calling Chet Holmgren elite. It's his first full year. Let's make sure he makes it out healthy and let's see him do it for years, not games. I agree with Shaq on that. Holmgren and Wemby are still 1 and 2. Jaquez is number 3, though. You can't deny what Jaquez is doing. Brandon Miller's number 4. Derek Lively, number 5. Then, of course, you have Thompson, Podzemski, Keontae George, Blyle, Coulibaly, and Scoot Henderson. Now that Scoot's healthy, he's looked really good. But I don't agree with him here. You know, it's Chet, Wemby, and Jaquez. And that's the top 3. Those are the 3 that are going to go back and forth all season. If Jaquez can get his points per game, maybe some more rebounds and assists and really just bump up those stats, is that, you know, Jaquez has all the intangibles. He's everything. Wemby's been streaky. Some nights he's amazing. Some nights he's terrible. Chet Holmgren being carried by Shai, Jalen, Williams, those guys around him. That Thunder team looks really good, but they need Chet to stay healthy. And they just need Chet to keep building and building and building and getting better and better and better and better and better. Shooting, passing, all the things. He just needs to keep getting better. Just kind of an interesting thing here. Mark Lohr and A-Rod are expected to exercise their option to acquire ownership interest of the T-Wolves and the Lynx. That's just a great thing. We've seen them take such a vested interest in this team, building into a winner, building into a team fans are excited about. And with the moves and the sacrifices they make, they are now a top seed in the West. And they're not looking to slow down. Ant, Cat, Gobert, this team looks really good. Really, really, really good. The Warriors are expected to be without Draymond well into January. I went super in-depth about this last week, so go give it a listen. I talked about all the perspectives and everything I could find on Draymond in this situation. So they're expected to be out without him well into January, which is okay. I like it. The Warriors need it. Again, the Warriors are a really good team. You got CP3, Steph, Clay, Kuminga, Looney. You still got Wiggins. Like, they have a deep team. Podzemski, Moody, TJD. They got guys. They got guys. They just need to work those young guys in a little bit more, get them some more experience so that they can make a deep run this year. I like where they're at. Stick around 500 for right now. Get all the pieces back. Get hot. Go on a run. You know, climb that way back up into that 6C, which is very obtainable from where they're at right now. Like I said, it goes the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Kings, and everyone else. Probably the Suns at 5, but the Warriors can definitely be a 6 seed, no problem. They just got to get it together and mesh it out, hash it out. Let's see. Since Ja Morant returned, the Grizzlies are like 4-0 or 5-0 or 4-1 or something. He won Western Conference Player of the Week. And that's news in itself. Let's jump to the rumors. So, plenty of trade rumors today on the podcast. We're going to jump into those. The first one here, the Pistons. They will not trade Bojan Bogdanovic. They want to win. And allegedly, if Bogey is a bench scorer next season, they still won't trade him. They're going to ride with Bogey and Bojan. They're going to ride with him. They're not going to let him go. The Hawks guard DeJounte Murray is apparently a target for the Lakers, which, sorry, like I said at the beginning, there's going to be some weird pauses. I don't love the Hawks moving him, like I said last week, versus moving DeAndre Hunter and Clint Capella, which I think would be better for the Lakers to have those kind of guys on their team versus DeJounte Murray. The Lakers have also been keeping eyes on Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith. They really want to add some speed and athleticism to this roster, pick up the pace, and we're outwork teams with their athleticism and their hustle. I like the idea. DeJounte Murray, just Hawks, don't trade him. Y'all need to keep him. DeJounte, but obviously before today's trade with the Knicks, we're going to talk a little bit about the Knicks. He's an ideal target for the Knicks. Like I said last week, I didn't love this. I don't love the Hawks moving Murray, period. The Knicks, like I said last week, they had the contracts, the draft capital, make nearly any deal work. We saw it happen today. They were eyeing OG Anunoby. They got OG Anunoby. Quickly was the price. They didn't want to move him, but the right deal came up and they moved him. Dwight Howard, he wants back in the NBA and he's willing to try and save the Pistons. He's saying the all free agent team of, let's see, him, Isaiah Smith, you know, all, Cousins, all those guys, pretty much the all-free agent veteran team. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. He said, you know who would win them some games? IT, John Wall, Michael Beasley, DeMarcus, and me. All-free agent team going to the Pistons. I don't hate that squad. I think that squad would bring a lot to that team. I think even getting a couple of these vet guys would bring a lot to that team because they desperately need some veteran leadership. Because they don't got none. Bojan ain't it. Isaiah Stewart ain't it. Like, you got to go out and get your guys. Get your pieces. Get your vets. You need vets to thrive with that young team. And they could definitely turn it around and win some games. Toronto, they're currently 11th in the East. They have no plans to rebuild or sell key pieces. Well, that was false. I read that yesterday. But insiders also saw a Siakam move over an OG move. Well, that didn't happen. There's no traction on any Siakam moves right now. So I don't see Siakam moving in the near future. Maybe closer to the deadline they're able to move him, but not right now. The Heat and Bucks are seen as landing spots for a potential PJ Tucker trade. I like that. Boston's monitoring the market for Kelly Olynyk, which I like that. I think the Boston Celtics and the Utah Jazz are perfect trade partners. The Celtics need to upgrade their bench and their second unit. The Jazz have second unit players who are playing starting minutes. John Collins, Jordan Clarkson, Kelly Olynyk. Markkanen's also on the block apparently, but it's a long shot he gets moved. I'm seeing it from insider reports. So I don't buy that. There's also rumors going around about Embiid getting moved to that. He says, I don't worry about that front office stuff, which is great. He shouldn't. The Sixers aren't eyeing Zach LaVine. There's no Zach LaVine sweepstakes they're looking at. The 76ers want two-way players who can help them get into control of the East. The East right now looks like it's four teams. The Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, and now the Knicks with the OG move. So we'll see what happens next, but I like those four teams battling it out for that East. That top of the East. The Warriors are 15 and 16. They need to do something. Wiggins, Draymond, trade them. Get that starting small forward position to Kuminga. I love it. Let him run. Let Kuminga run. He needs to start. TJD, Podzimski, Moody. Get those guys in the rotation. Get them minutes. You'll see this team soar. I'm telling you. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm telling you. I want to see it. I need to see it. I need to see it. So with that, that's all the kind of the rumors and the news I got right now. Let's jump over to the injuries. So there's lots of injuries to go around. Luka, Embiid, Butler, Jaylen Brown, Kawhi, Wemby. All these guys have been missing a lot of time with injuries. Some games the last week or two. Embiid's been out since Christmas. Then you got guys like Gordon Hayward, Lonnie Walker, DeAndre Hunter, DeAndre Ayton. There's a bunch of guys just in and out of injury. Lakers, Gabe Vincent, he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Aaron Gordon's out. He suffered face and hand lacerations. LaMelo Ball's out. So just a lot of big names are out right now. But the other Ball brother, Lonzo Ball, he's going to start running again in January. He's been the number one dynasty pickup in the last few days since this news broke. Coach Billy Donovan said that the pain that he was experiencing has been eliminated. So he's pain-free. So hopefully that means a return to court. Hopefully by the trade deadline for Lonzo Ball. I would love to see him back in the last third of the season. I think that'd be great for the Bulls. And that's really all I got for rumors. There's not a lot going down in the his house. So I also looked up a recent, I guess we'll transition here. I've been trying to keep up on like rookies and mock drafts. I think I'm going to keep that one for a little while, just to kind of see where it shakes out since it's so up and down right now. If you want a really good mock draft to keep you informed of guys moving up and down, highly suggest Bleacher Report's 2024 NBA draft. This week, we've seen Kevin McCullough Jr., Kansas, rise from 47 to 17 on boards. Carlton Carrington has gone from off the board to number 10. Ryan Dunn gone from off the board to 14. McCullough Jr. is from Kansas, Carrington, Pittsburgh, Ryan Dunn, Virginia, Trey Alexander, Creighton, KJ Lewis, Arizona, Reed Shepard, Kentucky. Alexander's gone from 41 to 21. KJ Lewis has gone from off the board to 28. Reed Shepard also with Kentucky's gone from off the board to 36. Kentucky has a bunch of dudes that are all projected to be in the first round. Just so many in the first round. Fallers, DJ Wagner, Kentucky, continues to fall. 14 to 26, Justin Edwards, Kentucky. 7 to 18, El Marco Jackson, Kansas. 21 to off the board. McKenzie Mbakto. Indiana, 28 to off the board. Elliott, Cadieux, North Carolina, from number 30 to off the board. Right now, your top five picks, your top 10, we're looking at the Pistons getting Rod Holland, G League Ignite, Washington Wizards picking up Nikola Topic, point guard, G League Ignite. We see the San Antonio Spurs possibly looking at Isaiah Collier with a third pick. Trailblazers landing Alexander Sarr, which I would love at 4. Grizzlies landing Zachary Reicher at 5. The Jazz landing Matiz Bazulis at 6 from the G League. The Hornets landing Stephon Castle from Connecticut. Shooting guard, the Bulls landing Jacoby Walker. The Thunder via the Clippers landing Cody Williams, small forward from Colorado. That dude's a baller. And then the Spurs again landing another guard, Carlton Carrington as well. So those are just the top 10 right now. All those guys really could fall anywhere in the top 10. I personally think the top end of the draft is Ron Holland, Topic, Bazulis, and Alexander Sarr and Reicher, and that's pretty much it. Everyone else is kind of after that. Those are kind of your 1 through 5 in any order, really, depending on team need and desire and who they believe in most. All right, let's get into some mailbag. So I saw this interesting post the other day. If Braun ended up on the Pistons, let's say next year somehow, let's say the Pistons go out and be like, we're going to go get Bronny James so we get LeBron here. It could happen. He could be in the second round pick. They could trade up for him. Who knows? We know Bron wants to play with his son. If he goes to the Pistons, LeBron goes there. Do they save that franchise? It's hard to deny LeBron, even when he's going to be 40 playing with his son. But I could see it. I hate it, but I can see it. Next question I got in. Who has more left to prove, KD or Kawhi? This came from a conversation I had over on Facebook. Based on a post I reposted, these guys have nothing left to prove. KD, Kawhi, Giannis, Jokic, Bron, Steph, and KD. When I said KD's got nothing left, Kawhi's the only one that doesn't belong on this picture. Why? KD's an all-time great player. He's always been the main attraction. He's always been a certified baller. Even at 35 year 15, he's absolutely balling and carrying the Suns team. Even after catastrophic Achilles injuries, he's a finals MVP. Yes, he went and joined the Warriors dynasty, but that Warriors team doesn't get to the finals without KD because he carried them through the playoffs. He carried Steph. He carried Klay. He carried Dre. I don't care what anyone says. He was the MVP of that finals for a reason. Kawhi, defensive specialist. Yes, he shut down LeBron for a series, but that's all he did. He played for Pop. He played with great players in San Antonio. He played with a stacked Toronto team that had a younger OG, a younger Siakam, and other great players around him. Did he take him over the top because of his defense? Absolutely. But they were playing in a weak East that didn't have LeBron in it anymore. He's never healthy. He's not the main attraction. He's not it. KD has nothing left to prove. Kawhi, go get another ring, lead a team, and then I'll consider you with nothing left to prove. But until then, KD, Giannis, Jokic, LeBron, Steph, KD, y'all are the only ones in the NBA that have nothing left to prove for your careers. I said what I said. I'm sticking to it. Next, should A-Rod, and this is just a should, A, move the Timberwolves to Seattle? As we, if you know baseball, you know A-Rod, Seattle. That's where he grew up. That's where he started playing. That's where he was drafted. That's where he's rooted. B, just buy the Seattle Mariners, or C, both. I want him to buy the Mariners because they'll put a competitive product out on the field. C, both. Why not? Bring us back to Sonics and buy the Mariners and put it. Give us a team to root for and cheer for that we actually care about. That's competitive because we know you'll do it. So if this ever landed on A-Rod's desk in front of A-Rod on his phone or whatever, A-Rod, from myself, a Mariners fan and a Sonics fan from back in the day, please bring a competitive team to Seattle outside of the Seahawks. Buy the Mariners. Put a team on the field that we care about. Get Stanton out of there. And please move the Timberwolves back and use Climate Pledge all you want. Great, I don't speak for the brands or the companies. I'm just saying from a fan. Next mailbag question. Best second-tier team in the East, Magic, Heat, Knicks. I don't even think it's close. It's the Knicks now. Best third-tier team in the East, Cavs, Pacers, Nets, Bulls. It's the Pacers, and it's not even close. They're a second-tier team now with the Knicks moving into a first-tier. Do the Thunder have enough? And their win over the Knicks. SGA, 36-7. 7 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Jalen Williams, 36-3-1, and 1 steal, 1 block. Check, 22 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 4 blocks. They also handled the T-Wolves. SGA, 34 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. I absolutely think they have enough to be a solid number two seed in the West this year, and they could run deep into the playoffs. Championship? I don't know. Western Conference Finals? Lock and load. Just imagine, that would have been the Sonics, so just saying. AI came out with his GOAT order, and I think I agree. MJ, Kobe, LeBron. It's the GOAT order. That's the correct GOAT order. AI's got it right. So shout out to Allen Iverson for that. Guys, I'm going to go rest my voice. Y'all have a happy new year. Have a safe new year. One love. So many blessings. Make sure you go and listen to the latest episode of Ball Boy Talk. That's probably the next episode after this that'll start automatically playing. If you're a dad, if you know a dad, love a dad, go and check out Young Dad Podcast. It's another podcast I host with my brother. We're ready to launch season 5 here in a couple of days. So I'm really excited. For all my dads that have little ones, go check out my book on Amazon, A Baseball Game with Dad. It's my debut picture book. I hope to sell a few more copies before the next one comes out. Let's see what else. Go and follow on Instagram at BallBoyBlog. You can also follow at Young Dad Podcast as well. Let's see what else we got. I think that's it. Shout out to the league. Shout out to Dynasty Down Under. Shout out to the Bluey Bandits. And y'all, again, happy new year. Let's take on 2024. Here's the next 51 games in the NBA season. Many more weeks ago. We're halfway through the fantasy season almost for the playoffs. So let's keep rocking and rolling, having fun, having a great time. Y'all stay safe. Y'all be good. Don't litter. Don't commit any crimes. If you get drunk on New Year's, call an Uber. We're not sponsored by Uber. But yeah, all y'all, one love, many blessings.